This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys. Thank you guys out there for tuning in for another fantastic episode. As you guys know, we've been doing lots of really cool tech interviews with different tech founders, different restaurateurs that are innovative and doing some cool things. And today we've got a repeat guest who came on the podcast in April of 2021. We are joined by one of the co-founders of Pop Menu. His name is Brennan. Brennan, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience for those that didn't get that episode back in April and kind of let everybody know a little bit about what Pop Menu is. Again, we'll put a link back to the old episode when we do post this this recording, but I'd love for them to know a little bit about you before we dig into kind of how the world has changed in the last few months.
Yeah, sounds great. Great to be with you again, Jeremy. Like I said, it's been like a lifetime in those multiple lifetimes in those 6 months, and I'm sure everybody who is involved with restaurants feels the same way. I'm Brendan Sweeney. I'm CEO and one of the founders of Pop Menu. Pop Menu started off as a way for restaurants to put their best foot forward digitally. We just thought it made a lot of sense that all these criteria that we use now to buy anything as consumers, photos, ratings, social validation, reviews, we thought it made sense to put those in the restaurant, you know, website and under their control so that it's not just, oh, you go to third-party platforms to find out about restaurants. It's like, no, go direct. Mm-hmm. So it started off that way. And then we've just steadily expanded that remit since then. Still at the core is this idea that the menu is the most important thing in a restaurant. It's the most underutilized asset. It's the most important asset, you know, and especially when we think of, we started off like entirely focused on full-service independent restaurants. And we thought, man, this makes so much sense because how do these small players differentiate? It's the creativity of their offering. It's the quality of their plating, the quality of their ingredients, the story behind the dishes. And so giving them all these tools to be able to share that made so much sense. And then just as we've spent more and more time, you know, and built up thousands and thousands of customers and had tens of thousands of conversations, we just started to understand more and more about the space, where there were gaps, you know, where we could help. And so we've just expanded the platform to now, you know, being all in one-stop shop for anything digital that's guest-facing for restaurants. And what we've heard, yeah, really things changed a lot for us through COVID in that the tool became a lot more essential. You know, it definitely wasn't a nice-to-have kind of feature only for really tech-forward restaurants. It's like, no, you have to communicate digitally so that people know if you're open and what's available and, you know, what specials do you have, things like that. And so the tool became more important, and then we just dug in more, you know, and said, okay, we're going to continue to deliver more and more kind of more vital functionality. And so, yeah, we're just a couple months from 5 years going at it, and we're loving it. It's been an incredibly tough, challenging period for us. I mean, way more for our clients. But it's also been super rewarding to feel like you're able to, you know, give a bit of a helping hand to people who really need it in a time when it's just chaos, but man, it's a hell of a difficult thing to do, run a restaurant during these times.
Absolutely. And we've had quite a few restaurants on recently, and it's always fun to listen to kind of the ways that they've made their world different and better. The one other thing that I want to remind our listeners is that you guys started this premise well before, you know, COVID hit, well before the idea of contactless menus, contactless dining. Talk to me a little bit about the premises to, you know, you kind of hinted at it, but I think it's cool for people to understand that you guys have this idea that this digital front door, this digital menu, this digital interactive way to interact with the brand is something that's powerful well before it became a necessity. Because I think, you know, you alluded to it, the last 6 months since we've talked has been pretty nutty with COVID, and it's been up and down and up and down. And we'll dig into that, you know, through the latter part of our conversation. But I think it's great for them to see the vision that you and your co-founders had for this idea of this digital, I don't know, digital interactive way to interact with the brand in a way prior to anybody else ever having to do it because of COVID. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Tell our audience a little bit about that for those that didn't listen, because we did dig pretty deep into that before we jump into kind of what the last 6 months has looked like for you guys.
For sure. I think we've over the past few years interacted with a lot of investors, and probably the best compliment we've gotten from an investor was, "Hey, I think what you guys are doing is incredibly obvious." And it's like, you
that's
might,
awesome. I
some
love
people
that.
Might get insulted by that. I'm like, perfect. You know, it's mm-hmm. that's like a GCD, you know, guitar song where it's like anyone could have written it. Yeah, but you know, but Bob Dylan did, and so that's why it's one of the greatest songs of all time. Not that I'm comparing us to Bob Dylan. So, you know, it was really obvious to us. And so the original idea came about a little over 7 years ago. I was working at another company and we were global. And long story short, I was comparing some restaurants for a company event. And it just struck me at this point. And it sounds super bougie, but I was based in Europe. We were in Paris. We were comparing three restaurants. And I was using PDF text menus to compare them. I'm like, what? And it hit me like, I live in Atlanta. This isn't, you know, a suburban Atlanta mom and pop restaurant thing. It's like, I'm in the best food city in the world. Here are three of the best restaurants in that food city. And this is the most sensual business there is. There's taste, there's smell, there's atmosphere, there's all this. And I'm using a piece of paper, basically, and some text to kind of figure out which one to go to. And I don't even understand half the ingredients.
Yeah, anyway. I was going to say, and half of it's in French. So you don't even understand what the heck's going on anyway. But yeah. You can continue.
Right? Exactly. And so it just stuck with me then. Like, why are we still doing this? Why is this the way it is? And I mean, and there's been long Twitter threads about PDF menus and everything because it is a funny kind of anachronism. It makes sense. I mean, the print file comes from a PDF. The easiest mm-hmm. thing to do to put the menu online is to upload that PDF. But you know, we've had just massive change in consumer behavior. Mobile phones, PDFs are terrible on them. Mm-hmm. And beyond just the PDF, like the whole idea that you're going to try to sell this business using text is just, it's so far behind where we know we can be, you know. And I always use the analogy, like, imagine going on Amazon and searching for a pair of shoes and just getting text back. It's like no pictures, yep. No reviews, no people like you also like this, none of it. It's just, okay, now pick. And I know it's different because that's online and this is brick and mortar, but the principle is the same. We're so used to having so many more criteria to base our purchasing decisions on. Why wouldn't we have that for restaurants? Now, of course, we've had it in third-party platforms. I like to deal directly, especially with a small local business. I want to hear from them. And we all know that third-party platforms, look, they serve a role, whether it's for discovery or whether it's for ordering. And obviously, through COVID, the marketplaces have exploded. But that shouldn't be all there is to it. And so part of the insight to start with was, hey, we can put all of this criteria in the restaurant website under their control, and they're going to convert more website traffic directly into diners. Mm-hmm. The second part of the insight was I worked for another company that basically helped real estate teams take control back from a large, technically sophisticated third-party platform that I won't name. And I got to see the power of how a small local business can say, no, it's not game over. Just because they've made this great consumer experience, which is what we all want, you know, yep. In trying to figure out our next dining destination, doesn't mean that they are the end of the story. And so in that business, we took that real estate experience and we kind of democratized it. We made hyper-local versions of it that a local real estate team could own. And then we made a very customized CRM that went with it. And I got to see, hey, they took control back from this behemoth, you know, instead of getting their rates tripled every quarter, all of a sudden. Oh, and also, instead of giving up their relationship with the guest and their right to contact or the customer, they got to take all of this control back. And so now we got to basically pair this consumer idea I had, you know, 7 years ago with this playbook for helping small local business take control back from large, technically sophisticated third-party platform using SaaS. And so those things together just seem really obvious. And from day one, I mean, first time we sat down with the restaurateur and showed them just the prototypes of what we had, they wanted to sign up. And I think that's one of the best and most fulfilling parts of this journey has been when we show restaurant, not just restaurateurs, but people in the industry, they get this look, you know, and it's an awesome thing where they're like, oh yeah, like that. I've had many, many people say some version of this to us and it's, hey, this is exactly what I've asked for if I had known how. you know, to articulate it.
Well, and I think you said it when you talked about that investor, and I do want to go down the investor path here just in a few minutes, but I love the idea that some investors said, you know, I just get it. Like, it's like, why did nobody think of this earlier and just get it done? Because I think we all have had that terrible PDF experience where you're on your iPhone and you're scrolling around, or you're on your Android phone and you know, the text is super small and you're pinching, and then you're zooming and pinching, and it's just this miserable back and forth experience. And you're like, and especially at a brand new menu and a brand new discovery. I recently moved since we last recorded to DFW. And so we're dining out at new restaurants all the time. And I hate it when I go in and I can't like see what the hell they have. And I'm not like even directed to the menu. And I know we talked in our last episode about, you know, directing the people to the stuff that you guys can do well, that you can execute well, and that you can make money on, and all of that. But the whole idea of PDF menus, while they are efficient because they're cheap and they're easy to upload, they're not necessarily effective at getting the guest experience that you want. And we talk a lot on the podcast about delivering the right guest experience is what ends up making a restaurant what it is today. So why don't we dig in a little bit to kind of what the world when, you know, I think most restaurateurs know what the world has looked like since, you know, the fall of 2019 when COVID hit, the world turned upside down. We've talked a lot about that, but even since we last posted the recording and after we recorded, your guys' growth, what you guys have done, the ability for you guys to scale and hit restaurant markets has changed dramatically even since we last talked. So why don't you talk a little bit about what your world has looked like over the last 6 months? You know, what does the investment world look like? What does your customer interaction look like? What is scaling a business of this magnitude, you know, kind of probably accelerated a little bit by some investment as well as some COVID trade winds kind of blowing your guys' way? Talk to me a little bit about that and kind of what your world has looked like over the last 6 months.
Yeah, for sure. Seems like a conversation best handled over some nice brown liquor with a big ice cube.
But, yep. Yeah. Some nights you felt like you needed it because your world was spinning a little faster than you wanted it to, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely had to slow it down some. I only want to encourage responsible drinking, but there's been some of that. So yeah, I think you know, we entered this year and Q1 we started to see the green shoots, right? The COVID numbers going down, vaccinations going up. Consumer stimulus had hit, PPP happened, the restaurant relief fund happened. And really, like, we had a tremendous month in March. It was a record month for us where we said, it's all coming back, you know, and it was really exciting to see that it felt like we had been through it, you know. And then I'll just describe the 6 months since. It's just been, it's such a day-to-day proposition, and it's so different. It's so like locally dependent, like what's happening in your area. And that could be everywhere is a labor shortage. I mean, that's the hardest thing this year for anybody has been the labor shortage. I mean, and no space has been more affected than restaurants, and absolutely, no space is more dependent on labor than restaurants. I have some stats I shared with our team a while back about how restaurants are by far the least efficient business when it comes to how much revenue they generate per employee. I think at the time I looked at it, it was like revenues on average were generating $56,000 in revenue annually per employee, whereas like a convenience store would be like $450,000, you know? So it's already like tough labor situation for restaurants. And then it just exploded and got so much worse. The combination of people coming back on premises, people, you know, having these expectations of service levels now that they've just been doing it through e-commerce, you know, so often, where are the workers, you know, million reasons why those aren't, why that picture is kind of difficult. And then also the, a related topic is just the supply chain disruptions where it's, yep, we don't have truckers, we don't have ingredients, there are ships stuck in canals all over the world. And so it's just been the best of times, the worst of times. I so empathize with restaurateurs. We just had a great local restaurant. I mean, just a couple years ago, this restaurant in Atlanta, they were 6 weeks out on reservations, you know, just a few years ago. They closed this week. And it's a real loss for the scene, you know, great chef, great local, community-based chef. And, he's going to be great and it's going to be fine. But he was just like, man, I can't do it anymore. Like, it's just, what's the problem today? What's the problem this week? You know, what's the challenge now? Is it, I can't get people? Is it, I can't get supplies? Is it, I can't open the dining room? And so in a nutshell, that's what the last 6 months have been like. It's like, we empathize in lockstep with our restaurants. You know, yes, we're a technology company. Yes, we've taken investment from Silicon Valley. We are by no means this separate third party that is not like invested in, you know, our client base. Like we live and die with them. Mm-hmm. And so seeing what everybody's been through this year, in some ways it's been tougher than last year. Because last year was kind of more of a monolith. It was like, we're all locked down. We're all opened up. You know, we're all, and the labor shortage hadn't hit. And so to see going from this early part of the year where we were green shoots, hey, we made it. Everybody pat each other on the back. We all got better during this time. We're smarter now. We appreciate everything more. And then to see like, well, we're not through it yet.
Yep.
That's been the story of the year for us. And I think the other part of it has been, we came into this year with this idea that while most people in the technology landscape are focused on off-prem ordering and multi-location, and so competing for that Olo business, we just said, we're going to go deeper with independents and single locations. And our goal is to build out a solution that in a single location independent restaurant can use to answer all of their guest-facing needs. Like let's give them this all-in-one, you know, as much as we can pack in there for the best price we can possibly do. That was our strategy for this year. And we thought that that's a different place that we're carving out for ourselves. And, you know, through luck and through hard work and through staying really, really close with our clients, that's worked. And so while the labor shortage has made it more difficult for restaurateurs to meet with us and even give our technology a chance, when we do meet with them, they're seeing more and more value in it. You know, and they're spending more and more, but they're also, that's taking away from more and more costs that they would have been spending on like 5, 10, 15, 20 solutions.
Yep. Well, and I think, I mean, there's a couple things that I want to bring back to our audience that I love that you touched on just there. And the first of which is your heart is for the independent restaurants and to help them. Cause if they're not succeeding, your business isn't able to succeed and you need to help them succeed. But at the same time, I think it's pretty cool that you've got some innovation that's able to help. And I'm sure you've seen some different people do some strategic and interesting things. Can you share any stories of people that have really, cause I don't want to say it's feast or famine. There's certain restaurants that you go into and it feels like they've got more staff than they need. And then you've got others that you know, you can throw, shoot a cannon down the middle of the aisle and there's not a soul in sight to serve you. And then there's some that it might be that same way, but they've augmented it with technology, whether it be POS technology, at the table technology, kitchen technology, off-prem technology, to deliver on a great guest experience by spending the time and investing during, you know, whether it's, you call it downtimes, but where there was only kind of a single or a secondary ordering mode, they figured out how to do it right. Can you talk a little bit about some of those success stories? Cause I'm sure you have some that people are thriving because they really took the time to do it right and figure out what their business model looks like beyond the pandemic when things do open up and they might have a labor shortage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just in aggregate, it is really incredible how much the kind of tech savviness of this space has changed over even like 1 year, 1 year ago. Yep. So 1 year ago, you'd say, okay, a lot of people incorporated off-prem and did a lot of things to make sure that they could survive through COVID. And wow, isn't that like, you know, 10 years of accelerated innovation in 1 year? It's done, right?
and at this point, it's never done.
It's never done. But what's crazy is so much had happened at this point last year, I mean, maybe even more has happened in the years since, where Absolutely. What you see is just so many operators have said, you know what, I got a taste for it. I see how I can be more efficient. I see how I can use tech to enable hospitality, not replace it. I can use this, you know, in times where, you know, I can't have people in-house, I can still have revenue streams. And when I am able to have a packed house, I still have this option of an additional revenue stream. I just feel like that trend of people getting more and more savvy about how they're running their restaurants and their hospitality groups has been so impressive. There's no way there's another sector that has advanced so much in such a short period of time. And, you know, out of necessity for sure. And individual examples, I mean, part of COVID that is like, you don't want to say like the, you know, this is great or this is bad or whatever. It's just an obvious trend that in so many ways, there's just this greater divergence between, you know, those winners and losers. I don't know how else to say that. Just like, if you're really up for it and you're really agile and you're really willing to lean into it. I mean, we have, I'd hesitate to give a percentage, but a large group of our most savvy operators are having one of their best years ever.
Yep.
You know, now if you're on the other side of that, and it's totally understandable, especially after a couple of years of just so many changes, you know, if you're on the other side of that and you're not up for the change and you're not up for dealing with the agility and you're just tired, I mean, it just goes down and down. Right. And so that divergence is in every market. And I think again, it's probably most clearly illustrated in restaurants. But some of those examples of people who are doing really well, I mean, they're not stopping when it comes to evaluating how can I make my business more efficient.
Absolutely.
And they're saying, well, one funny thing, we launched waitlisting this year, and waitlisting is this funny thing that nobody thinks they do it. And then everybody has a clipboard, you know, if they don't have a tablet, they have a clipboard. You're managing.
Or they have chalk markers, or they have, you know, dry erase. Right? Yeah, they have something to keep a list of people,
right?
For sure. Yep, absolutely.
You're doing something. And so I actually just got off a product update where we're going through, you know, some of the traction on our latest features. And there's one client in particular who leaned into waitlisting heavily. They'd never used a tool for it before. And all of a sudden engaging this one seemingly very simple tool on a problem that every restaurant has had for all time, right? How do I handle the people who are waiting to get in here and make sure that they stick around so that they can have a meal and generate revenue instead of going somewhere else? You know, this person leaned into everything that we offer when it comes to waitlisting, which is, okay, what does it do? It just takes the onus off of a person to have to handle not just getting the names in, you know, but also communicating. Yeah, it's almost ready. Nope. Let me scroll down the list. You know, let me look down my notebook page. No, mm-hmm. You're still, let me guess, 15 minutes away, this and that, and come back and all that back and forth communication. But also Tony Roy, who's our president and one of my co-founders, and he probably has talked with more restaurants than anybody in the world in the last 2 years. He's like, every single interaction is an opportunity for a transaction. And, you know, that sounds like a little cold way of looking at it. But the truth is, this one client who leaned into the waitlisting very hard, you know, really hard, now they're capturing consumer information, guest information on like 10 times more of the interactions. Well, those people who are becoming part of the waitlist, who are really a fan of the restaurant, they become a follower in the CRM yep. that's built into PopMenu. And then there's preference data that we're getting from them based on what are they looking at in the menu? What are they ordering? What are they commenting on? You know, what are they rating? And now they're in the system, and now they get automatically marketed to in a personalized way based on, you know, what we know about them. That's a lot better than a clipboard, right?
Like all of a sudden, throw it away at the end of the night and you have no idea who came in unless Tony's the guy that's the concierge at the end of the day that says goodbye to the people that he's known for the last 40 years. You know, it's funny that you say that, because I've talked to so many restaurateurs that they want this holy grail of who's coming in, what they're buying, how often they're coming in, how do we talk to them? But then when we try and put technology in front of them, up until a couple of years ago, they would go, I don't need any of that stuff. And it's like, but do you have any idea that Google and Amazon and Facebook are doing this all day long to you? Why are you so daft to not realize that people will give you this information if you give them value back in return, which it sounds like 100%. You guys have done that, right?
100%. And it's still early days, and there's so much to come from it. But it's like what you just described is every modern business except, you know, a few, including all restaurants. Mm-hmm. Where, I mean, we've met with even really huge hospitality groups with significant internal teams who don't have anywhere close to a unified picture on their guests. Not even close. Mm-hmm. Now, big part of that is the tooling. Tooling has not been good enough. You know, and so, but what you just described is a little bit of the kind of vicious circle that restaurant technology has been through, like forever, because restaurants are, operators are the busiest, they're the busiest people in the world. They have the most demanding job in the world, and it's crazy. It's just
some wonder why we get into this world, but the adrenaline that happens from it and the relationships that you make. I just read an article yesterday that says the restaurants are the number two employer in all of the United States.
Yeah.
So, you know, so from that, you know, you're going to have a lot of restaurateurs, but it is kind of funny that you say that, but once you get in, it's pretty tough to get out, I think.
I mean, the truth is it's a special experience. It's got a lot of challenges and a lot of drawbacks, but it's also got a lot. I worked in a cubicle for a long time. There's just some stuff that happens in a restaurant. You're never gonna get that in any other kind of occupation. And so absolutely, I get it. And I do think some people are junkies for it. And some people just, man, bless them. They just love to serve people. It's like the most human thing you can do is give food to other people. And so it's an incredible thing. But you know, coming back to it, but it's so busy and so crazy and so demanding and it's so broad. Like it's you got to deal with HR, you know, not hiring, training, engaging staff, retaining staff. You've got, you know, inventory, you've got so many things to deal with. Now somebody's coming to sell you technology, mm-hmm. you know? And the truth is there's been this kind of, the vicious circle has been, it's a tough audience to get in front of technology and then to get them to use it because you got to fit it into their life. And the truth is that's hard to do. It's hard to make technology that somebody in such a busy environment, you know, can really make use of. Now, the other, you know, so the restaurateur doesn't have a lot of time. The technologist comes in. They haven't made the technology fit yet because that takes a long time. And so they're trying and mostly failing, right? It's like, mm-hmm. here's a new technology. Okay, well, I didn't make use of it. So now I'm not going to pay for it. And so now your company's gone on to the next. And then the company might say, hey, I've got something here and it works. It's just, I need more runway. I need more time to be able to figure out how best to fit it in with a restaurant operator's life. And then investors look at it and go, this business looks terrible. You know, it's about pre-COVID, trust me.
I pitched
dozens of investors and they're like, I want nothing to do with this. I do not like, and everyone had a horror story about like, you know, I invested in this business before that did restaurant tech and it didn't work. And so I'm never going to do it again. So then you don't have capital and you can't spend the time to develop the technology, you know? And so it's just downward spiral, and that's why no tools were making it. And so one of the benefits of COVID, if you can
it's definitely going to be a benefit because I think the world has definitely changed, and it was actually where my question track was going to go. Yeah. is really that idea that says you've got to try these things. I mean, every one of our guests that's been on this last year has talked about the success stories of people that have done this. And you said it, and I'll let you finish your thought, and I apologize for cutting you off, but it's like,
no, it's good.
I think to myself, it is definitely one of those things that restaurateurs have been burned. Investors have been burned. They're so busy. And you know what, quite frankly, when it was working 2 years ago, when it was working for that guy and he had a wait list 6 weeks out, he didn't need your technology because he didn't give a crap about a wait list because he had 6 weeks worth of reservations there. Then when 100%. He had to pivot and change, the ones that pivoted and changed and were able to adopt it and didn't believe the hype that says, you know, 3 weeks to flatten the curve or whatever the news media was telling us, you know, 18 months ago when this whole thing started. And as this isn't a political statement as much as it is, the world has changed and you have to do what you can to fulfill the consumer's demands and how they want to interact with your brand or they will go away. And I think, you know, you talked about the waitlist, you talked about the customer data, and I love the idea that says you found customers that are willing to dive deep into what your solution is because you're truly, truly solving problems and helping them make more money and or retain customers and or get that same customer to come back a second time or save them costs on their labor or help them retain their staff because they don't have to do as much work. I mean, there's so many different ways that PopMenu and other technology providers out there have done it. And so I part of why I get on my soapbox to talk about these things is part of what the podcast is here for is to help restaurateurs to understand that they have problems every day that need to get that need to get solved, and there's technology out there to solve it, right? I'll let you finish. I apologize. Every once in a while I get on my soapbox, my team will tease me and they're like, dude, chill out. You know,
we get it.
We're sold. But I hope that resonated with you, because what I heard you say is restaurateurs that are adopting it and really putting it into the core of what they do are the ones that are succeeding and adopting these changes to really help their business out.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey man, I love it. You're getting fired up. I'm getting fired up. I mean, there's a lot, like, we're going through all this adversity. We might as well get some real good benefit out of it, you know, and learn from it. And so all of what you just said is true. It's like all of the above, you know, gets helped by technology. And that's why, you know, every successful e-commerce business is doing all of these things we're trying to introduce to restaurants. It's just a lot more complex to bring this technology, make it something usable for, you know, restaurants for a million different reasons. So No, I love all that. And I think you're dead on. And, you know, I think one of the things we've seen since COVID is this real realization that there's not just something inherent about the restaurant space that makes it lag in technology adoption.
Yep.
It can be done. It's just, you got to be really intentional and you got to put some resource behind it. And you also have to have a different mentality. And so our mentality is, if it's not simple enough for us to use, it's not that you're stupid or that you don't understand technology. It's we have to make it better.
Yeah, the product has to be better. I say that to our product team all the time. It's like, you know what? If you're generating support calls and people don't know how to use the product, then make the product smarter. Make it
not
work the way it's your fault. It's not the customer's fault. You're not gonna put it in the hands of tens of thousands of people and just say, you know what? Apple doesn't do that. You know, Android doesn't do that. Facebook doesn't do that. And just say, oh, you got a bunch of dumb customers. We're just going to have to leave it the way it is. No, they fix it, right?
They fix it. That's right. And that doesn't mean it's easy, but it means you have to take that mentality and say, it's up to us to figure out how to make this usable. Like every other product in the world, you know, it's like, how can I make this something that creates value and is usable? And so I think, you know, this past couple of years, the best news for restaurants is that investors have woken up to the fact that, like, look, 2%, less than 2% of restaurants in the U.S. have a digital platform like PopMenu or our competitors. 2%. Mm-hmm. And so when investors see that, or you just see Toast go public, you know, and at the time of 30 billion valuation, now like 26, that's with 6% of the market. And so then investors go, okay, this is an incredible opportunity. What do we need to do to capitalize on it? Well, you need to be patient and you need to back a company that has this mentality of, we got to get the product right and we've got to get the customer experience right. And it's on us to figure that out. And it's not going to be a short, all investors want something that's like, can you triple my money in 2 years?
Yeah, you know, exactly. It's a guaranteed return in 18 months of you know, 5 to 10x, and it's like, well, if all of us could do that, then why would we need to be investors? But I was going to ask you, there's got to be, you know, there's been, funny enough, and for some of our listeners, they may not know this. You alluded to Toast. Olo went live, you know, went public, you know, during the pandemic. I know quite a few other restaurant tech companies have either taken some pretty significant capital and or have gone public. Or done SPACs and those kind of things. And so talk to me a little bit about what that looks like for PopMenu. I mean, are you guys looking to get to that place where you guys are ubiquitous for digital menus? Is it, you know, is your goal to get to, you know, 10 or 20% of the casual dining market, you know, by the time that you guys, you know, you guys are off, you know, hanging out in Tahiti somewhere? Or kind of talk to me a little bit about what you guys see as a vision for PopMenu, not just on the product side, but really, you know, give me your vision. What is it that you guys want to do? Because clearly the investors, clearly the world of restaurant tech has grown tremendously. The trade winds of COVID haven't hurt. the all of these extra pressures that have been part of the world that you talked about with labor shortages and supply chain shortages. But there is truly some opportunity, and I think there's a huge sea change that 100 years from now, people are going to go look back and go, you know what? That's when dining out changed. You know, when McDonald's opened up the first drive-through in whatever the 40s, you know, that changed fast food forever. I think COVID is going to change the way that we dine out. And I wonder, how is Pop Menu, you know, from a vision perspective, how does that, you know, where do you guys want that to be? Where do you guys want to be at the center of that world?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, the number one thing, and this could sound like bullshit, and I don't care because it's true. We want to help as many restaurants as possible. And the COVID experience for us, like when we started the business, it was very much about, hey, this just seems like an obvious thing and it's cool. Like I always take pictures of my food. And so now I can use that as an excuse. Don't worry, I'm taking this picture, but it's because I'm a professional. Like I have a startup based on this. You know, and it started off cool and then and interesting. And then we started to see, hey, this is actually something that it's making these small businesses we care about feel like they're taking some control back from, you know, a big evil tech that has abused them forever. And during COVID though, we started to get messages over and over and over, you know, in the dozens and then maybe even, you know, 100 plus where clients said, we wouldn't have made it through COVID without you. That was emotional. Like that was like tugging at the heartstrings of everybody. And all it did was make us dig in deeper and say, okay, then I want to do more. Like there's so much more we can do. If we helped you through this, you know, maybe we can help you with these five other things. And so at the essence of everything we're doing is a genuine desire to help small business owners in a space that we love who have been, for lack of a better term, abused by people who know technology and have lorded it over them. And so in general, helping them is what really fires us up. And I can tell you that from our CX team to our sales team to our product team, like people get genuinely the most fired up when they see some comments come in from clients that have to do with how much we help their business. Like that's meaningful, you know?
I love that.
It's not like we're helping, you know, Comcast get 0.1% higher profit through an AI thing. You know, this is real. This is meaningful. Mm-hmm. Now, what's our role in that? Like for me, the back office stuff has been covered. POS has been mostly covered. It's the most mature tech there is in restaurants. There's a lot of stuff that's not guest facing where there are people who have a big head start on us in figuring things out, and that's in good hands. For me, I just, as soon as we entered this space, I was like, oh, there's literally never been great tooling for guest facing technology in restaurants ever. There's never been a Salesforce. There's never been a HubSpot. There's never been a tool that you can reliably use to attract and engage and transact with your customer base, which is an incredibly, you know, important and simple thing. Like most businesses start with that, right? Like, how am I going to get people in? How am I going to stay in front of them? How am I going to get as many orders as possible from them? And so for us, we just keep digging into this idea that an all-in-one guest-facing platform, you know, that handles anything you would want to do from being found, you know, online to really presenting the menu and the offering and, you know, in a really compelling way to staying in front of them with automated and smart and personalized marketing tools, you know, on and on and on. So for us, it's like our niche is definitely, we've spent so much time saying, how do we make this a no-brainer, all-in-one guest-facing platform? And so we want to help as many restaurants as possible. We want that platform to be as broad and powerful and useful and valuable as possible. And everything else will come from that. You know, if we just focus on that and on staying close with our clients, we have our product team does dozens of customer sessions every single week. And that could be on a specific prototype for a feature we're working on. It could be, you know, sketches and more ideation. It could be just more interviewing to try and identify struggle points. You know, we just stay with them and talk with them all the time. And that helps us figure out the right thing to build and how best to build it so they could get value from it. And so the vision for us is, yeah, I mean, I can see a world where it's like, oh, you run a restaurant, but you don't use Pop Menu? How do you do that?
Yeah, like how is that even possible?
Right. I mean, it's hard for me to make big statements like that because it sounds ridiculous, but we're in position to do it. And it's like, well, we might as well. And we've heard it from clients where they're like, we love it. We love it. Can we just do more through you? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And it's like, yeah, we want to do as much of it as possible, of course, without sacrificing, you know, quality in any of the individual pieces, which is a trick, you know, in yep. and of itself. But if you told me, hey, worldwide, you know, there's this percentage of restaurants who feel like they couldn't operate without Pop Menu because it delivers so much value, I would be really super proud of that. And I would feel like our vision has been, you know, fulfilled. It's really just that restaurants who've wanted to go out and find more guests and wanted to stay in front of guests, you know, and keep them engaged and wanted to make it easy for them to transact, they just haven't had this all-in-one tool. They just haven't had it. And so for us, we just feel like delivering that is the vision and making it dead simple for them where they can just go back to focusing on hospitality. You know, they shouldn't have to be marketing experts. They shouldn't have to be technologists. They shouldn't have to, you know, train everybody on this cumbersome system, you know, over and over with turnover and everything. It should be just so easy to use. So that's a lot of rambling. I think it's basically like, yeah, an all-in-one tool that simplifies their lives and generates a lot of value and allows them to focus on hospitality, which is why they're doing what they're doing in the first place. And that drive to serve other humans food is what brought them in the business. Not like, oh, can I make a social post about this special?
Yeah, no. And I love, I'm going to repeat some of what I heard you just say, because I think it's important for people to know it comes through your pores that you guys care about the restaurant, that you guys care about that restaurant operator and truly are going to put things in place to understand what they need, understand what they want, and help build it even before they know that they can have it, because you guys are, you know, tech entrepreneurs that have some really good people on your team that can figure out how to solve these problems for people. But the fact that you guys are putting the customer at the center of that journey is incredible. And I want to commend you guys for that, because all too often what I've seen is when people go, you know, go get investment money, it's growth at all costs. And, you know, they splinter their product portfolio into 27 different ways and they try and do everything, because there are lots of tech problems within the restaurant. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You guys can solve a million different things, but the fact that you guys are staying focused on those core things that are about, you know, guest interaction and guest experience, yeah, and that front end of things, not trying to build your own point of sale, not trying to build your own back end, not trying to build your own KDS. That might come with time, but focus on the right stuff first to get those loyal fans, those raving fans within the brand that are going to go out and help you guys grow. So, good job. Good totally. Job doing that. And good job, you know, expressing that, because I want our audience to hear that, because I really do believe, and it hasn't changed from when we talked 6 months ago.
I appreciate that, man. And it's you know what it's born from is, you know, we didn't know what it was like for restaurants to deal with technology before we started this business. Mm-hmm. And so as we started to meet restaurateurs and, you know, we did this in a very organic way. You know, we knocked on doors, we walked into restaurants, we started talking to people.
Yep.
And what we found pretty quickly was there's just no shortage of stories. And there's no shortage of variety of flavors of restaurants getting screwed over by technology
people.
And that could be how we signed a client 2 weeks ago who it's a single location and it's a restaurant and nightclub. And they were paying something like $8,000 a month for social posts.
Yeah.
The website was terrible. So the social post would direct people back to a bad experience, PDF menu. So you're paying all this money, which is a crazy amount anyway. If you're paying that much, go talk to somebody. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're paying that much, you can definitely effectively reach out with less. Doesn't matter what size business we're talking about. But, you know, directing people back to a very difficult to navigate and uncompelling digital experience. You know, so that's one thing is we hear of freelancers and agencies just overcharging people. We hear of third party, you know, platforms doing all kinds of let's just be kind and say very self-interested business practices. Mm-hmm. Very early on, I mean, this still happens. I can't tell you how many times we've gone to launch a client, you know, and they're like, well, I don't have control of my domain. I have to call my web guy, or I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's nuts, but we'll go into GoDaddy forum or whatever, and we'll handle it if they have their credentials. A lot of times they don't have their credentials, but plenty of times, I can't even tell you how many times someone's holding the damn domain hostage, you know? Yeah. And it's like incredible what restaurants have had to deal with. And so this is why we get so fired up, is we would just sit and hear these stories over and over. And then maybe there are these fake reviews, and then maybe there's this, and maybe there's that. And eventually you're like, this is just garbage. You know, this is how, hey, let's do our part. We can do our part. We can't change all of that. We're not arrogant enough to think, you know, we can make the world perfect for them. But it's like, man, we can give them some measure of control back. We can give them some measure of feeling like they are, you know, the shepherd of their digital brand, which is the beginning of the hospitality experience for many, many, many people. And then it's just grown from there. And so just hearing those stories, it pissed us off. It fired us up, and it made us want to be the opposite. You know, we want to be that trusted partner. We want to be the ones where they're like, you know what, the Pop Menu came along and they made some things right, where in the past there was just a lot of opportunity for people to take advantage of us technology wise.
Yeah. Well, and again, I know we talked about it earlier in the conversation, but I do think that you guys had a fantastic idea that obviously was accelerated with the headwinds that the restaurant industry has been. Not that they're great, but it's been good for your guys' business. And it definitely has, for those that are going to make it through and have a thriving business at the end of this, it's going to be a better experience for the guests. And I think guests are going to ask for a better approach to the restaurant, whether it be from the digital experience or from the in-store experience, as they continue to get back out and things start to, I don't want to say normalize, because I don't know that they'll ever be back to normal, but they'll at least be better than they were 18 months ago or 12 months ago. Right.
Absolutely. And it's a great point that, and now that's, we're in an interesting kind of crossroads. We just ran a few surveys. There's a client survey we just did with about 400 of our clients. Half of them are looking at automating more online operations next year, more than half, 51%. And 41% of them are looking at automating more on-premise operations, which is
that's awesome.
It's a huge number if you think about it. And then exactly half of them said their biggest pain point with their tech is they just have so many different systems that don't talk to each other. And so what's interesting is there's obviously this growing desire. There's a growing belief that technology can help. There's a growing desire to make it happen. It's up to us technology companies to make those offerings, you know, things that they can put into their lives. But then there's this other really unique component of it where, you know, a lot of people were like, I don't want any technology in my hospitality.
Yep.
And the truth is, part of why technology has been such a struggle for restaurants and for companies creating technology for restaurants is it's not a monolith. Like it's massive, massive spectrum between, do I want to be extremely high touch? Do I want to be high tech? And that's as a restaurateur, like everyone has a different idea. Is it that they don't want a chunky tablet on the table? Is it they don't want everybody sitting looking at phones? Is it they don't want their staff enabled to know everything about, you know, the folks that are sitting in front of them. So I think there's this big spectrum between high tech and high touch, just for lack of better terms. And as a technology company, we have to enable restaurants to operate in their happy zone there. You know,
absolutely.
It shouldn't be, hey, there's one way to work with Pop Menu, or there's one way to work with Toast, or whatever it is. It should be that it's going to flex with you. Like no matter what, we're going to help enable hospitality. Is that going to mean we're going to make it so you can operate a full patio even if you don't have the staff by doing, you know, tableside ordering? Or is it going to mean that your server seems to know everything about every guest even though they're not sitting there holding a tablet because they've been pre-equipped with information, you know, yep, with this unified view of the, but then also from the consumer side. So you have the double complexity is restaurants want to operate in a certain mode, you know, from high tech to high touch, but then also customers
absolutely
have even wider, right? Do I want, I mean, some people never want to talk to a human again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some people just want to sit there and be told everything. And I'm both, you know, like some, it depends. There's kind of like you mentioned before the podcast was like, yeah, sometimes I want to be super high tech. Sometimes I want it to be an old school steakhouse feeling like I've been a guest for 30 years, you know.
Yep.
You have to meet there too. And so that the whole trick and where we're going with the technology, not just we, but as a space, is where do you meet? You know, how do you make it so the restaurant can dial up their level of kind of tech enablement in their hospitality, and then the consumers can also, you know,
I think one other thing that I would add to that is I do believe that there's people that are going to pivot the space too. I think there's going to be people that on a Tuesday night, it's going to be high tech because they, you know, it's a bunch of business travelers that are sitting right next to a convention shop, and the business travelers are, you know, typically one and two tops and they want to do that. But on a Friday night, it's everybody stopping by after the softball game and want to drink and hang out. The guest experience is going to be different, or it's happy hour after, you know, after work on a Friday. And I think that the guest experience needs to be flexible enough, and you need to have that point of sale, that, you know, pop menu type experience to allow the guest to do what they want to do and how they want to interact with their brand.
Absolutely. And it's something we've been fleshing out this more fully featured, you know, platform all year. It's been a big topic for us. Like it's been, mm-hmm. and it's funny because you could say, hey, maybe that's painful, you know, for a technology company to try to figure out. But for us, it's awesome. Like it's an awesome challenge that there is the opportunity to change how hospitality is done in a positive way, not where it's like, you know, I felt like immediately in the heart of COVID darkness, it was like restaurants will be gone forever and we're all going to have Chipotle dropped in our laps by drones. And it was like, that's not what I want.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And so we've had that vision of the future, you know, but really there's just so many flavors that can, you know, that can be available for hospitality experience. And we just love the idea, the challenge of figuring mm-hmm. out how you make that work, because it is something that I do think we are clearly in a generational replatforming of an entire industry technology wise. We're in it right now. And we're going to look back 15 years from now or something like that and say, whoa, that was, there was so much happened during that compressed period of time. And, you know, for restaurant operators, I want to make it clear, like, that doesn't mean you have to give up hospitality.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't mean, in fact, like my ideal version of tech-enabled hospitality feels like the old days. It feels like the host knows everybody. You know, which is impossible now. There's just so many people and so many choices. It's, you know, so much travel on and on. It's impossible to operate that way, but it's not impossible to make it feel that way. You can make mm-hmm. it feel like as soon as I walk in the door, you can deploy everything you know about me without me knowing that's coming from technology. You know,
absolutely.
And so I think that's the most exciting thing about this time, you know, is that there's so much potential and restaurants are so awake to the potential. And yeah, there's a lot to fight through, more challenges than ever and more adversity than ever. But on the other side of it, I think the business, the industry is healthier, you know, in so many ways once we get through this.
Yeah, no, and I know we you know, bobbed and weaved our way through lots of kind of where you guys have been at and where we think things are going, but I love your ideas, and I am right there with you. I do believe that we're going to see a different restaurant experience. The restaurant experience that my kids are experiencing now when they are parents is going to look very different than what they do now going out to eat with us, and I think it's only going to continue to accelerate. Because people are up for it. I think people are ready to do it. And it's pretty cool that I get, I guess I get a you know, catbird seat to sit and watch what Pop Menu's been doing the last couple of years through the industry. And I appreciate the relationship that we've built over the last two recordings. Brendan, how would our audience get in touch with you guys? They want to try out what you guys are doing. I know you guys are doing some fantastic things. I can't imagine anybody sat and listened to this podcast and said, "Ah, that guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about," or "Why the hell did you have him on?" Because at the end of the day, you drop just tons and tons of data, tons and tons of information that that people would be remiss if they didn't want to go check you guys out. But I'd love to give them some specific next steps if they wanted to kind of figure out what you guys are doing and how they can evaluate Pop Menu for their brand.
Awesome. Really appreciate the kind words. If my wife's listening, she'll be the one that says that guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
But, yeah, exactly. Well, my wife, I was working from home today and I said something on a company-wide meeting this morning and she's like yelling at me from the other room saying, "You're not allowed to talk like that." I'm like, "Whatever, get out of here. So I have the same problem around my house too. So,
good luck with that one. so yeah, get.popmenu.com is the best way to get in touch with us. And to be honest, I mean, I've said a lot of rambly words and we've meandered around, which is, I mean, I love an organic conversation and hopefully it's obvious that it's not very structured and it's mm-hmm. definitely genuine. The truth is there's so much in the platform that you have to see it, you know? And so I think our team does a fantastic job, you know, with the demos of covering from consumer experience through all the tools in the back end and all the ways that the platform can drive value and really two things, like simplify, you know, the restaurateur's life, but also mm-hmm. supercharge their digital experience. And so I just say, go to get.popmenu.com and have a demo. And we're here to help. We're not here to push. Of course, salespeople are going to try to close you. But I think that experience of demoing the product will really help illustrate in much more kind of vivid terms, you know, the philosophies and ideas and vision I'm talking about now, like in practical terms, what does it do right now? The demo is the best way to see it. Our product has, I mean, our team has tripled over the last 12 months. Our product has evolved so quickly and incorporates so much, and it will continue to, that it really has to be seen, you know, and I wouldn't say that just myself. I just have heard so many variations of, you know, this is way better than I expected. And, yeah. There's so much here for the price. And so I just think there's no harm in jumping on a demo and seeing what it's about. And if it's compelling, you know, you can sign up and see what the kind of revolution we're trying to help affect in hospitality. You can see it, you know, up close and personal.
I love it. Well, I'll put those things in the show notes, guys. You know, to our audience out there, guys, we know that you guys have got lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of choices. It feels like there's new ones every day of podcasts that are out there. So for those loyal fans, guys, we love that you guys give us feedback. We love that you guys go check out our partners. Love that I've gotten a chance to have the second conversation with you guys, and it's really cool to see what you guys are doing. And I say this often, and I'm going to repeat it for our audience members, guys. I don't have people on the podcast that I haven't checked out their product and seen that it actually has value. I do believe in what these guys are doing. I do think it's really cool stuff that that you guys will want to go check out. So many of you guys don't know where to start, and you know what? Even if it's not with Pop Menu, there's other people that are trying to solve some of the same problems that these guys are doing, and not to dissuade you guys from going that route, because it's been Brendan's conversation for the last, you know, hour or so. But there's some fantastic ways to solve these problems, and everyone has the problem. And so if you haven't already solved them, these guys are a great partner to do it with. And so go check them out. Go schedule a demo. Take a look at their product, and I hope that you guys enjoy it, and I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you guys did, go give it a like on whatever your favorite podcast rating player is, because it does help others to find the podcast and share it with some friends. Guys, thank you so much, Brendan. Thank you for your time, and to our audience, make it a great day.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.